podcast has changed my life.
Chad, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
1.5 meters away from each other.
I thought you were about to say 1.5 million, and I was like, that's what? So far from the correct population of Sydney.
Of Sydney?
Yep.
Yep, six mil.
Is it?
I feel like it was five when I was in primary school, and then people talk about it like it's going to hit six for a good while.
Yeah.
And so I assume it's happened by now.
Everyone always likes to say Australia's population like is more than it is, I think.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, it's up to 27 now.
That's another good example, because I think it was 20 when we were in primary school.
Yeah.
And you learn 20. Now people say 25, but is it?
I reckon it is, though, now.
You reckon?
It'd be close.
Should we look it up on this? Should we? Well, let's just let that be.
30 seconds of using a screen.
Exactly. We're all very excited about the...
I'm looking it up on my phone. How about that?
Okay, that's probably better. That's not bad. Did I tell you about my primary school? What I've been recently inquiring about?
No.
Speaking of primary school.
Go.
When I was in primary school, I don't know if they did this at yours, there was a, you know, there's like demountables and stuff. Hang on. 25.3. Fuck, we've done it.
And Tom, census is coming up soon.
Yeah.
So
what do you mean?
Might be more.
Oh, totally. Yeah, we could find out about
it. Could be like 26.
Oh, that would be boring. I don't give a shit, really.
I want more. I would like to compete more on the world stage.
I feel like it has effects on our GDP. The more people we have, the more productive we can be.
Or it's the more we have to support.
I mean,
especially
if
the new ones are lazy that are being born.
What's the thing about the aging population? You need the workers in.
Mm.
This is an economics podcast.
452 visa.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you get the working migrants.
But the borders are shut.
The skilled. I mean, yeah, we're fucked at the moment.
Anyway, so you're in primary school.
I was in primary school. And when I was in year six, they commissioned an extension of like where the music, there was like one music classroom where we went on Thursdays. And there was like, you know, the principal's office or whatever, like some admin offices where like the school nurse-y kind of person was as well. Like those, the offices, the reception bit. Extending that building. And as part of the construction, they said that they would be burying a time capsule.
Right? Awesome. And this was a thing in primary schools, wasn't it? They would do time capsules.
Well, yeah, mine did. Did yours?
I think we did, but I can't for the life of me remember where it is or what we put in there. There might be gold. There might be something valuable in there.
People
like the first Bitcoin might be in there or something.
I mean, don't get ahead of yourself. It depends when.
Yeah, who knows what's in
there. It was buried. Yeah, maybe. That is an enterprising kid.
I mean.
And that would be crazy to know that there was a Bitcoin down there and be going into your primary school and begging them to dig it up early.
But you might have been like, you're a dumb kid. You might have been like, this crypto thing's a fad.
When you grow up, like later, when you realize it's worth millions, you go back and then they say, no, piss off. We're going to dig it up in 20 years.
Yeah.
To which you'd have to say, okay. But then you come back at night.
And you just dig holes in that
or
oval.
Or you try. And then you get
they
caught for being
on
in
the
school.
Oval anymore.
And then that's what you say to the judge. They're accusing you of being a pedophile because you're hanging around the school. You're like, nah, I'm tied up in crypto.
Yeah.
I'm a Bitcoin guy. I'm not interested in the children. If anything, I want them gone.
Yeah, well, less children, more Bitcoin.
Well, exactly. I'm trying to get under the ground. You know.
Yeah, no pedophile is trying to get under
the ground. And then
the
judge is like, what, there's an underground society of like...
of pedophiles?
And you're like, no, it's a
you
Bitcoin.
Don't get it.
It's a society.
One Bitcoin.
Where you pay for things with a digital token.
And this is probably also like 10 years ago with this being said. So Bitcoin...
I mean, this is
this
fictional.
Story. No, because if it was now... now it's probably been dug up. But this is 10 years ago when I'm like, I've got to get this Bitcoin back. At that point, it's probably worth... $4,000, maybe.
Totally.
10 years ago. The judge probably doesn't even know what Bitcoin is. He probably thinks that's the name of the illegal pedophile ring that I'm in.
Yeah. Little bits of coin. It does sound creepy.
Yeah. Well, that's how you pay for little pedophile escort boys.
I mean, I think it actually just is also what people use on the dark web to... Now, if a kid put a Bitcoin in a time capsule and then came back in 10 years, depending on how it goes, it probably will go down. That they'll have lost money.
Yeah, you know not worth. I mean? Yeah, it will cost
12-year-old coming back when they're 22. They fucking made a loss.
Yeah.
That's less fun.
But can you even get a physical Bitcoin?
I think you can. I almost said print it off. But no, you can have it on your computer and then you can put it on a USB.
So yeah, you pop the USB
You
down
can pop
there.
The USB down there. Yeah.
So what did you put in your time capsule?
Well, all I remember it being quite a big thing. This wasn't something that they were doing every year. this was like a special thing they were building. There was construction going on. They were going to extend this this classroom, build a few more classrooms.
So to celebrate, they're like, well, we'll do what everyone wants, a well, time capsule.
I suppose, like, while we've got the tractors out, we're going to...
Oh, yeah, okay.
We're going to stick
it... fair enough.
But then that seems too extreme they put to it put in it like, under, in like, the all the other shit.
Exactly. So you got to knock like, the building down.
Somewhere fucking easy to get to.
To get the newspaper from 2002. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But then this is the issue. So all I remember is writing a letter to myself, which is the classic. Right, they get you to write a letter to your future self.
Mm.
And so when you dig up the time capsule and you open it, you get to read a letter from yourself, which is pretty cute. I was 12 or 11 at the time. I was in year six. This would have been the year 2001, I think. And I remember that they were going to dig it up in 2020. So it should have been dug up. And I remember, I think I was writing a letter to my 30-year-old self. So in my mind, it's like, I should have got this fucking letter. Like, I've thought about it.
Is your school in touch with you still?
No.
Like, is there an alumni program?
Well, they are now, because I fucking sent an email.
Because you're a pedophile.
I've been, no.
Keep claiming you're looking for Bitcoin.
No. And so that, this isn't going to look good as well, the Bitcoin thing, because the Bitcoin thing is fake.
Not
that
real.
That was a joke. That is not my excuse if I do get caught on, but it is real that there was a time capsule, and I just want the warm memories of my childhood, which is worth more than Bitcoin in my mind.
But as if they haven't forgotten it, like how many teachers would still be there?
Yeah, but this is my point. It's like, yeah, they probably have fucking forgotten, but then don't fucking promise me a time capsule and make that a big part of my... Like, were they just never planning to open the time capsule? Do they do that all the time? Well, that lie to the children?
Of course they do. They lie to the kids. But also, imagine now even going back... Like to not be like fair. To be like, hey, I went to this school.
Mm.
Do you guys remember there was a time capsule?
Yeah,
I just want to get the time capsule. Yeah. They'd be like, fuck off.
Half
like,
the teachers are younger than me.
Yeah, they'd like, be what like, do you mean? We didn't actually bury the time capsule. Like, we just put it in the back of the classroom.
And then I'm like, it's in the foundations. We need to get serious. It's going to cost $100,000 minimum.
Explode a whole building.
I know you're busy. It's COVID. You're trying to like have the right amount of kids in and learning from home and nah. We need
just so you
to
can read
down
this letter.
The music building. Exactly. Because it'd be pretty fascinating. I have no recollection really of what I wrote. But I think it'd be interesting to see. And I don't think it's right to just lie to children just because it's... I mean, I think it has some value to do it even if you don't read it, to like think about your future. It forces the child to think about
themselves
in the future and write a letter to themselves. That's probably... therapeutic in some way.
I don't think they thought about that in any way. I thought they were just like, how do we pass? Well, it's like, they're probably like, it's 12:30 now. School knocks off at 3.
You think it was an improvised announcement
the kids for two
that afternoon?
Yeah. We'll just be like, oh, there's a fucking time capsule. Can everyone
do
something?
There was never a time capsule.
Look, there might be a time capsule.
It would have been a box.
But whether they put that much importance on you writing a letter to yourself and then reading it in 20 years' time, I highly doubt. They were like... I think they were just like, can you do something? It's that or a fucking finger painting, like for
totally.
You to put in there.
But it's just, don't promise then. It's like that Seinfeld bit where he's like, everyone can take the reservation. You've got to honour the reservation. That's the point of a reservation. It's like everyone can just be like, yeah, give me a letter.
20-year
yeah,
reservation.
I'll hold on to it. But it is. I've been, I haven't thought about it that much, but a few times over the past like 10 years, I've been like, oh, that's something to look forward to. In 3 years now, I'm going to get that letter.
Did you think there'd be a big... You'd get like a letter in the mail being like, we're doing it.
Yeah.
We're digging it up.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like a school reunion and everyone would...
It's exactly what I was picturing. I think I remember picturing at the time, like a girl I had a crush on, like I'll see her there and we'll be 30 and like that'll be a fun thing back at the school. Like it'll be fascinating.
I think I know what your letter was about. I love Madeline.
Did you get to second base with Madeline? I swear to God, I hope nothing more in the world.
I better be married to Madeline by now. Otherwise,
exactly.
You have failed me, 30-year-old Tom.
Pathetic fucking God. Fuck you, you 30-year-old idiot.
It would be cool if you picked
married Madeline.
Because you would have been 10. You picked it up and 10-year-old you was just like, fuck cunt. And you're like, whoa,
maybe.
I was an aggressive kid.
I think the teachers might have reviewed the letters.
Oh, there's some editing.
I think so.
If you went to a real fancy school, it wasn't that fancy, was it? It was a public school.
It was a public school?
Yeah.
It was a pretty good one.
I reckon if you went to like a real fancy private school,
because
they care about their alumni. I think that's what you're paying for. I think they would have done a thing.
Yeah. And they have a program. They have someone whose job it is to manage that and send out emails and ask for donations. That's why they do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No one was donating to your school.
Well, yeah, no.
The only donation you'd be to blow up the foundation.
Not any fucking more, I'm not. If they called me, I'd laugh. But I sent an email being like, hey there, This was a few months ago. No, it isn't a priority at the moment.
Like, the kids aren't even allowed into the classroom.
Chaos.
Well, it's maybe like that's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no kids in the classroom. Maybe send someone in, have a dig around. I'm not sure where it is, what you did with it. Look in the filing cabinets. But yeah, no response.
Do you have any friends that...
you have a friend.
I might have told you. I don't know if I have, but anyway. He went to a really fancy Jewish boys' school, maybe, in Melbourne. Anyway, I was talking about the time I had, because you know how you'd have motivational speakers that would come to your school?
Yeah.
And they'll come and they would like, I mean, sometimes I remember we would have like an ex-Olympian in like, not a good sport, like a European handball, you know, something that no one really cares about.
Are you saying there's tiers to the celebs you get popping into school?
Well, this is what I'm saying, right? So the main one that I remember is that we got this guy that came to our school that went to prison because he stood over an overpass with a rock, like a big rock, threw it at a car, went through the windshield, killed the woman driving the car.
Oh, my God.
So he murders this woman. He goes to prison.
And now he's touring.
Now he's on the circuit. He's doing the comedy store.
Best thing he ever did.
No, so he comes to the school.
Yeah, he went to prison.
He goes to prison. For murder. I think for like a decade or something. Yeah, okay. Anyway, he comes to our school. It's like an assembly. Sits us all down and he's like, there was this rock and like I got on the
other. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to introduce the coolest guy we could find. This guy is a bad ass.
He's a bad motherfucker. You're going to love him. Give it up for Rock Guy. Well, he comes out, he tells the story. He's like, I'm on the overpass, I get the rock, I throw it, dies. I go to prison. It was like really bad.
So he's taking you through.
Yeah, like, he goes through the whole thing. Well, I mean, what else? I don't know why else he's there. Like, he's got to talk about it.
He plugs his poetry. Like, look, I don't like the rock stuff. I'm over the rock stuff. I don't want to do the rock stuff anymore.
I've actually
got some poems about, like, my feelings and I'm getting into
Well, he did talk
recently
about prison and, like, what he did in prison for ages. But anyway, he gets to the end and he goes, so in conclusion, don't throw rocks at cars.
In conclusion.
He was like, in conclusion, I'm here today to kind of tell you guys, if you're thinking about throwing a rock at a car.
Yeah, that was coming through early on, but that was going to be this was wrapped up.
Yeah, absolutely. We were just going
to be the moral of the story here.
We were like, and we were like, we weren't going to do that, man. Like, we're not throwing
rocks
at a car.
You're going to generalize a little bit?
Just say.
Don't throw rocks. How about be responsible? Think your actions
respectful
through. Don't be peer pressured into doing silly things. He's like, no, specifically rocks.
Rocks. Everything
else
is
overpasses and highways.
If you want to throw like a, you know, like a foam roller at a car.
See
go
what
for
happens.
It.
I've never done that.
Probably bounce
maybe
off.
Maybe it helps them. Maybe it's funny. The rock wasn't funny.
And the car pulls over and starts clapping you. That was fucking awesome.
Exactly. To kill across, at the top of the highway. You get big laughs.
On the Eastern Distributor.
Yeah.
Hardest crowd. They're moving so quick. Can't get any eyes on them.
Fucking hell. You'd have to do the gag. Like, have a video of you playing 1K at one overpass.
Oh.
And then you'd be at the next overpass to get the laughs. Like,
you do
that was me.
Do the setup at one overpass, and then you try to deliver the punchline and get to the other.
Setup, punchline, then it's you, like, taking the laughs.
Because you've got to get
the credit.
It'd be like the honks. You know when everyone's doing stand-up in those outdoor cinemas, and there was just, like, the honks? That's what it'd be like, but trying to get it
but
5Ks down the road.
Yeah. And then the best guy, who's, like, the crowd work comedian, he's in the traffic. He's dodging. They're fucking coming at him. He's like, oh, shit.
And the hardest you could kill would be to cause a pile-up.
Totally. Like, and then still laugh, though.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
People are like half out of their cars. Their legs are off. They're like, oh, that
the
was
paramedics
good
get
though
there. The person in the car tells them the joke. They start laughing.
They rip that off. Laughter's the best medicine, cunt. Tell that joke again. I loved it. I mean, people kind of do that with like marry me signs. That's the closest.
Yeah. I mean, it is all.
They'll put up a sign, like a fake sign, and then like, you have to
monitor
the smiles.
I don't think you're allowed to do it, are you?
To muck with the signs? Probably not. Maybe that's what some cops with the radar guns are. When I see those...
They're judging those radar guns can tell laughs inside the car.
Well, maybe they're little telescopes to see if people are smiling at the gag they put or the graffiti. You know what I mean? I assume it's cops measuring speed, but maybe it's people measuring smiles. Like, do you think that's funny?
That's an 8 punchline.
Yeah, did you see that tag? Fuck, yeah. 9 out of 10 people, bit of a giggle from that. So it's pretty good.
Well, anyway, so Rock Guy... So I was telling my friend Rock Guy's story because I was like... I look back on that, I'm being like, they should have got someone better, like, to come to our school.
And you remember thinking at the time...
We all did.
Obviously, we're not going to throw rocks off, like, what the...
It was a collective moment.
Or were you like, oh, good. Yeah, good advice. Yeah, fair enough.
I think there was one guy holding a rock, watching it, and puts it down. He goes, oh, fuck, all right. Well, that's my afternoon plans have changed.
Yeah.
No, everyone was kind of like,
a time capsule.
Anyway, so I was telling my friend this, yeah. And then he said, oh, yeah, cool, that reminds me of the time. Bill Clinton came and spoke at my school.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Bill Clinton.
I knew from the way that the story was framed that it was going to be someone famous. Oh, of course. Famous,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Is so much higher than
well, he couldn't be a bigger guy.
He's one of the most famous people in the world and most powerful people in the world.
International pants man, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, and other things. Yeah. And, that's not why he got booked. It's like the Rock guy didn't want to talk about the Rock. Bill Clinton doesn't want to talk about politics. He's like, all right, this is how you fuck chicks, all right, guys?
That's how they introduce him. They're like, hey, international pants man, Bill Clinton, we got him in here to teach you boys some lessons. He's like, I was exactly. Also president of the fucking United States. Yeah,
but no, we're going to focus on pickup artistry, all right? You want to come in confident, eye contact. Ask a question. Don't listen. Say your thing.
He's like, you can fuck your staffers. You'll get away with it for sure. Yeah, I'm still married to her.
Do the politics thing, but then eventually they, yeah, for power, they love it.
But he said, because I was like, that's so crazy. He said he'd also had prime ministers come to the school. But he got
what
Clinton.
What are you talking about? To do what? To say?
Just to talk to the boys.
Imagine if their speech was like, hey, boys. Throw rocks off highways. It is funny. Like,
it's pretty funny.
If you're working class, you get caught, you get a prison. But if you're rich, you get it's you fucking sorted out. And it's
well, maybe the guy theater. That did it was rich, and that's why he got on the public speaking circuit. The guy that came to my school.
Was he rich?
I don't know, but it does seem like not a natural. It's like his incentive, like he's monetized the horrific thing he did.
I mean, it's pretty crazy to get, but then again, I feel like that is a big part of, I mean, in terms of the different categories of school speaker that I remember. I mean, I think there were a few that I can remember. One was, I think,
Jesse Martin.
Jesse Martin.
The youngest man to sail solo, unassisted around the world. No, youngest person got beaten by that girl with the big jaw. What's her name? Not the big jaw. No, she just...
Greta Thunberg.
She's like Greta Thunberg.
There was a girl.
Australian girl.
Yeah, Aussie.
Anyway, it doesn't matter what her name is. Oh, no, it does matter. But, it, like, not for this conversation.
I remember her. Yeah.
It was huge. People lined the
harbour. Totally, yeah. Can't remember. But we've been joking about coming there with the big story and then doing new stuff at these events, but he actually did that because he wrote a book, which I think was pretty famous.
The book was called Lionheart. I read the book.
That's right. Okay. I didn't. But he came. Like, that's why he was famous and probably was on the speaking circuit.
If you got a book, you can speak.
Totally.
Yeah.
And he had, like, yeah, a compelling story about doing something when you're young, which would be inspiring to teenagers. Like, pretty perfect booking, really. But he had a second book about a second sailing trip he went on, this time not solo, and I think not very impressive
didn't
in terms
break
of
a
where
world
he
record.
Went. No world record broken. He took some mates, and he just, like, sounded
went
like
to
he,
Manly.
I think he might have gone, I'm really stretching my memory here, but, like, somewhere in Asia, and just, like, sailed around a little bit. Sounds like a Kentucky tour or something. He just took, like, five mates.
Greek Island.
Yeah, and they just had a lot of fun. And that's what his second book was about. He was telling us about that.
Did he mainly focus on that?
Exclusively focused on that. And I remember a few teachers.
He's going to see Bob Dylan and he does all the new stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what are you doing, Jesse?
And it was the first time that I thought of those people as, like, people that were paid. Because I remember having a conversation with two different teachers who said that he was disappointing. They were angry that he did new because it cost money. I think someone said he gets $1,000 or something.
Oh, I reckon it'd be more now.
Now? Oh, totally.
I just think like public speaking.
I mean, Bill Clinton's on more than a grand.
Well, Clinton can't have invoiced.
Oh, like, you reckon he's doing it for free?
I reckon there was some kind of weird hookup because it was in Melbourne. Mm. I remember when he did that Melbourne tour because I remember he got... This is a good story. He went to
you
play.
Remember the tour?
No, I just remember that
the schools.
This note.
You got the jumper. Well, 96, Bill Clinton.
Well, I was dealing with rock throwing guy. I wanted something
totally.
Better. I was following him around, but he went to go play this golf course in Melbourne called Capital Golf Club.
Oh, you know about
and,
the golf.
And it was booked, and the guy in the pro shop didn't know who it was and denied him. He was like, "Sorry, mate, we're full."
He didn't recognize Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And didn't let him play.
And I reckon the Secret Service would have been a giveaway as well. They're probably they followed him
they're
into
too
the
secret. No one could see him. They're a bit less secret.
Maybe they were on the course already.
Know that you were. Oh my god, that's kind of nice though. Yeah, no special treatment.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the fact that I know the story suggests that he got out. Maybe Clinton wasn't too happy about it.
Yeah, I reckon he would be used to people letting him play golf whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
But another person who I remember speaking, well, not people, but in terms of the types, I remember one of that kind of rock-throwing type, which was something along the lines of, thank you.
Like a lesson learned. That was a popular one.
A paraplegic guy or someone in a wheelchair who fucked his neck diving into the beach.
Oh.
And he didn't check that it was too shallow and he fucked himself.
That's something that I've been warned about a lot growing up.
Totally. So I think that was a classic one. So, I mean, that would be maybe a bit of a positive thing about if you fuck your neck, you're like, my legs might not ever work again. Call an ambulance. But in the back of your head, you're like, speaking gigs.
It's not all bad. That's like
1,200. You could do 2-3 a week.
I watched Remember the Titans the other night. And have you seen the movie?
I forget the Titans.
I didn't watch it. Anyway, you forgot the Titans. Fuck, go on. How could you? But the guy, it's like the classic football thing. The good player gets injured. He gets paralyzed.
Mm.
And he's in hospital. Gets paralyzed that day, that night at the game. They all go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And he's like in there or whatever. And then the coach goes in. Like he's just learned he's been paralyzed.
Mm.
And then he says to the coach, he's like, I've been reading up. Have you heard about these Paralympics? So I'm going to go to the Paralympics.
Yeah, that's sick.
Within hours.
Can I be honest? I relate to that. That's me. Because I like basketball. And I've played basketball for years, not the last few, but like all through high school and stuff. Fancy myself as okay at it.
Yeah.
Not even close to being competitive
in any
sort of pro league as an able-bodied man. But get me in a wheelchair. I'm not saying it would be easy to get into like the Australian team or something, but I think then that would become a big goal in my life is to get into the Australian team.
And it would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot of fun. And it's more doable because obviously there's less people gunning for those positions.
I have a foot injury at the moment.
Oh.
I wonder if I could.
Me too, mate.
I have a stress fracture in my foot.
You got a stress fracture?
Yeah, from running too much.
Fuck. So it's actually fractured.
But also
did you get an x-ray?
No. But Googling, they said nothing you can do. It's just a light stress fracture and it's like 8 weeks or whatever. But it's from just running in shitty shoes. Not shitty shoes, just like I just had two pairs of running shoes that were both probably 5 or 6 years old and a bit worn down and increasing the amount I was running and not building it up.
Mm.
But anyway, my point is, do you think I could get in the wheelchair? Straight away I'm like, God, I watched the Boomers beat America the other night.
Sprain your ankle? Yeah. All of a sudden you're like Paralympics.
Oh, guys, I could run the point here, surely. I don't think LeBron looks like an athlete.
What do you mean?
He just has the head of, like, not an athlete, I think. He has the head of, like, someone that works...
Not sexy enough?
Just doesn't look sleek or quick. And then you watch him play and you're like, oh, my God, he's, like, obviously the best ever or one of the best ever. But his head looks like... It's just too... He should be doing manual labor with that head.
I agree.
Do you think security or something. Like, he doesn't look like he should have so much, like, romance in the thing he does. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
Or a footballer, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, no, kind of brutish for that too.
Too brutish to be a football player.
Do you mean football as in like...
Yeah, not like the world game.
Oh, sorry.
I mean course he could be a rugby league player.
Yes, yeah.
He'd be the most beautiful rugby league player.
That'd be great. I mean, he'd be almost too big. I feel like, is this true that elite athletes, a disproportionate number of them, are kind of hot?
It's a great question. I think a lot of them are hot, but that's because you've got to be...
I suppose they're in shape, which gets you a long way to being pretty sexy.
Well, yeah.
But like a lot of the top basketball players are like very marketable because I think if you break it down and you forget this as a straight man when you're watching, but I think it does inform your opinion of them a little bit because hot people are nice to look at, but a lot of them are like pretty hot. Like Kyrie Irving's a good example. He's a cutie. Damian Lillard, cutie. Stephen Curry, cutie.
Who's that guy in the rugby league, plays for Queensland fullback? Ponga, he's a cutie.
Ooh, Ponga's a cutie.
But yeah, I think it's like, because like men are so bland. I mean, if you're just an athlete, they're just going to have great bodies.
Yeah, but I'm talking face.
No, but I think the face is so, it's just a bit nothing for men.
Not with some of these stars.
You're saying they're objectively like beautiful faces.
I reckon.
But also the sample size.
No, but this is what I'm saying. So if you look at society and you look at the percentage of people that you look at their face, just their face, and you'd go, they're pretty sexy. They're pretty cute, right?
Yeah.
What percentage are we saying? 15%, 20% or something?
Seems crazy high. 10.
You reckon? 10%. Okay. I reckon if you got the top 10 to 15 people
in the
in every sport, right? You put them all in a bundle and then you'd ran the same test. I think we're looking at 60, 70% of them are cute.
Hmm. Maybe they're destined for greatness.
I think so.
And
maybe
that's part of it.
The physical like abilities comes up into your face and makes you sexy as well. Like because dude, obviously to be a good athlete, you have to be a good
Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. Oh yeah.
Exactly. Oh, the flip side though, Messi. Meh. Meh.
Yeah. Look, I think you'd have to put him if he wasn't famous and like very sexy. He's not that hot. I agree.
You walk past that guy in the street.
Yeah. He's cute now. I find him cute as well. But that's only because he's like shorter than the others and like he's cute in opposition to what his context. But take him out of that context and he's just a normal looking guy. Ronaldo's a great example. That's what one of the hottest guys I've ever seen in my life. And he's like also the best at soccer. Like what the fuck's going on there? Michael Jordan as well. Hot.
Yeah.
What the hell? Symmetrical face. Beautiful.
Is Michael Jordan hot?
He's got a symmetrical face. He's not the hottest guy in the world, but he's like iconic looking. He wouldn't be as famous and successful, I don't think, if he was like, oh, hello.
That's, yeah, if it was a bit
I'm very good at basketball.
But the face is so, like, void of sexuality now because it's just been everywhere.
The face. Oh, his face.
The face.
You're like, the face has lost it.
No, but I think of it
as the face. Wait, what's in? The elbow.
Well, I mean, show us his elbow because I see his face so much that it's like, I can't imagine rooting Michael Jordan.
You can't imagine rooting Michael Jordan. Why?
I don't, because he does, he's so visible that it's not sexual.
You're right, it's like fucking a shoe or a billboard or something.
Yeah.
It's like fucking Ronald McDonald. You know what I mean? It's like there's no love here, there's no passion, you're like an icon, you're like a company, you're an organisation.
Imagine fucking, because was Ronald a real guy? Like I think he probably was at some point.
You think Ronald McDonald was real?
Well, they created, some guy had to play Ronald. And then he has a wife.
Hang on. So, yeah, the first guy to play Ronald, was that, like, did he have that gig for, like, 10 years, 15 years?
Probably. Because they were probably like, we're going to find a guy that's got red hair, looks a bit fucked up.
And if you're killing it.
Yeah.
If you do well for the first few, it's like, mate, sign you up for a year.
Yeah, come back.
You're touring. You're almost like the Subway Jared Fogle guy. Like, you're the spokesperson.
Oh, the pedophile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy. But maybe he did, like, 5 years, 6 years. 7 years, and then what? He gets fired?
Maybe he... Well, I think maybe the cost... Well, I don't know if you've seen the McDonald's movie.
And that's how they got the hamburger
idea. I think
it was
expanding too far. Too fast for him to probably make it to all the McDonald's.
You can't... Yeah, I mean, he can't go to...
Franchises were popping up all over the country.
When he's touring, he's not going to the McDonald's themselves. He'd have to go to, like... I'm picturing him at least in a Westfield food court, like... they set up the little stages. Like Guy Sebastian might come and play it.
No, isn't he just there and people get a photo? He doesn't do it. He doesn't have an act.
Yeah, it's good to be here. My name's Ronald McDonald. Why do they call it a hamburger? There's not even fucking ham on it. Sorry, I shouldn't say fuck. This is actually a very child-friendly...
I'm in the kids section. I'm so sorry. I'm in the playground. You know when you're on the slide, someone pisses on the slide? What's that all about?
Would I like fries with that? Of course I would. This is the 60s. Even now
but
I know.
Ronald would have had to go home and tell, like, he's got a partner. And they've got to have sex with him. And his job is to be... He's like this fucking loser. That is the face of McDonald's.
Loser? He'd be making good money.
Yeah, but no one...
Do you reckon he was a comedian? He's like, that's the ultimate sellout. Imagine if one of our peers, one of our friends, becomes Ronald McDonald.
Who would do it?
Weren't there some local Sydney comedians that approached a porto to offer to be their...
I don't know. I would do that.
Offer to be their spokesperson or their mascot?
I got teary once when I was reading the story of a porto. This small town guy, this little Portuguese
on the
man.
Wall.
Yeah, it's on
you're
the wall.
In the burger room, the wall tearing up.
Yeah, have you seen it on the wall?
Like, you're okay, I've read it. Yeah, I didn't fucking cry.
This young 18-year-old guy, he travels from Portugal. He comes to Australia. Sydney at that point, Tom, is not the Portuguese chicken stronghold it is now. Now it's a huge Portuguese chicken town. Back then, nothing. He sets up this store on the beach in Bondi. It's kind of part of the reason Bondi is so iconic is kind of tied to a Porto chicken. And then, you know, he opens up another one in Balmain. It's still him doing. He's got the secret stores, people are lining up. And then in 2004, something happens because it went from 7 stores to 154 nationwide
what
in
do you
2004.
Mean? In 1 year?
Yeah, I think there was a buyout, a huge buyout.
He's not doing that by himself.
Yeah, he can't fucking do that by himself. Hell.
That's what I was laughing at you until that's a when significant. I started crying.
Yeah.
Yeah, me, I'm more reading Russian literature, some kind of graphic novels.
You're reading The Wall at Oporto and being like, this is the greatest literature I've ever seen in my life.
You want to have a good read, get down to that Oporto on Enmore Road. It's in a weird car park. You can get the train to Newtown. A big wall with it on there.
Don't read anything on the train. Get ready.
Get right in the mood. You'll cry. It's like reading the last Harry Potter. A story comes to an end.
What's your favourite book?
It's not really a book. More of a wall.
Can you get it on Kindle?
You should be able to get it on. They should make a documentary about it.
You should just write it down and then sell it to Kindle.
I think a Porto would want in on it, probably, if I told the story. I could create a different chicken chain, maybe. It's a great story, though.
It's so funny.
Which comedians approached?
I forget who. This is one of those stories you hear. Maybe Kyle Legacy or something.
Yeah.
He looks a bit like Ronald McDonald.
Well, he kind of would be. He is a mascot for something. You know, we're like, LeBron's born to play basketball.
Exactly.
Kyle's born to endorse some kind of fucked shitty chain.
Like Hype Boy. But then the other thing with Ronald McDonald, have you watched this show on Amazon called Lux Listings?
Oh, they're making an Australian version, I think.
They have made one. It's on Amazon.
Oh, is it Australian?
From last week. It's Sydney Real Estate.
Is it good?
It's fucking fantastic. It's awesome. It's just follows three real estate agents.
Through the eastern suburbs.
In the eastern suburbs. Yeah, they're selling very expensive houses. And so basically the benefits of watching the show is, A, you get to look at these expensive houses, which is kind of mildly interesting. Particularly if you live here, you know, you drive past Vaucluse or whatever, you're like, what?
Oh, yeah, my God.
$50 million? Wonder what's in there. You get to see what's in there. But then also you get to see these characters who are selling the properties. And they're fucked. Like, they're just the most Sydney people you can even imagine times two.
Are they all doing... Oh, not on camera, but they're probably exactly what I imagine them to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy suits.
Crazy sunglasses, like perfect beards.
I went to an auction in Bondi once. Obviously not to buy. I just wanted to have a look.
Mm.
It was down the road from where we used to live. And, I remember there were three real estate agents in, like, these crazy blue suits. Like,
it's like they're making fun of the thing. Yeah, it's like the stereotype is here, and they're, like, three times the stereotype, and they're not kidding. They're doing it for real. One of the three, so there's two guys and one woman that they follow that are real estate agents. The woman kind of doesn't identify as being one of those flashy ones, but she's, like, pretty much the same. Like, they're all in this real estate world. But they're perfect for this kind of reality, kind of vaguely scripted thing, because they're just so used to performing.
Is there drama?
There's a bit of drama. Yeah.
Because like they're always putting themselves in the fucking ads. They want to pay a million under the asking or
exactly.
something.
Yeah. Well, one of them is a buyer's agent, so they negotiate. And it becomes clear that these people don't do anything. It's like there's some person who owns, like, an $80 million house and they want to sell it. Like, and then someone who all the buyer's agent does is just go look and probably send some photos to the buyer, and then they buy it and they pretend to negotiate, but they don't really do anything.
But I say, but they probably do have a job, because say if you had a normal house that was worth, I don't know, what's a normal 700, well, not in Sydney, but whatever. Say you had a house that's worth $800,000.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably sell it by, like, a Facebook status, in all seriousness, like a bunch of them on your Instagram, be like, hey, is anyone looking?
Someone to do the admin, like, what do you do? You know,
contracts and stuff. But you could get someone interested, surely. Put a sign in the fucking front of your house, you
totally.
Know? 80 million.
Gumtree.
Where do you find someone who's buying an $80 million house?
Totally. But and then that's literally all they do. But what they enjoy doing is, first of all, putting themselves in the ads. So, like, the ad will be for the house and they're like, hey, what's up?
That is so funny, on the little real estate pictures. Not needed in any way.
Totally. There's a guy in there. I look at those things and sometimes I'm like, do I get the guy? You know what I mean?
You're in the photo. Spare room?
Yeah. You've got the couch there. That comes with it. Does that guy?
You put in an extra bid to get the guy. I'll pay $40 extra
above
asking.
I'll pay $400 a week more for the guy if I get to torture him.
Well, that would be great.
He's my guy.
The irony is they put a photo of themselves in, and that's the last time you see them after you rent their house. Because, like, when are they ever around?
There's no reason for real estate agents to be front and center in their advertising. I don't understand why there's not a real estate company that is just the brand name, and then you never see or fucking hear from in the advertising any of the people. Like, who cares? Just people put it nothing. Up on your website. They put it up on realestate.com and domain. Put the price there. Take the emails and send details to people and then fucking, like, there's no reason for there to be a suited guy like, hey.
Absolutely not. I inquired about an apartment today and I got an email back saying, because of COVID, we're not doing look-ins. And it said, and then it sent me the address, which I already had, because it was, and it said, do you want to do a drive-by?
A drive-by?
If not, here's the application form to apply. That was their...
I can organise a drive-by.
Yeah.
I don't need your permission for a drive-by. Do street view.
Well, you can do street view, but then he was sent me the application. He was like that quick. It was like, well, there are your options. Well,
one-on-one you can do.
Well, he was saying there was none. You can't do it.
No, that's rough.
I think maybe the people in there didn't want people coming in or something.
Fair enough. That is actually fair enough. The back to this Lux listings.
Oh, yeah.
He, one of the, probably the douchiest guy, but who's also the most charismatic. He's a very short man, which always helps.
Is he an ex-rugby player?
Don't reckon. Bit small.
Okay.
But there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
That's a big part of the real estate market, I reckon.
Especially in the east.
Totally. Mm. But he, at some point, he's on a boat, like, for his, like, Christmas party for his company that he's put on. He's given them all a pep talk. And then he's getting a call.
Boats. I reckon 80% of those harbour boats are real estate agents.
Uh-huh. And then he gets his phone out. He's like, sorry, I'm getting a call. It's Ray White.
The Ray White.
It's Ray. It's like, I don't even fucking think that Ray White was a bloke.
This is crazy.
That's the craziest real estate brag. It's like, oh, it's LJ Hooker. It's like working at McDonald's, it's Ronald McDonald, sorry, I'm going to have to take this.
But I think that would be a huge, if Mr. McDonald rings you.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Sorry, guys, the Colonel's on the line. But because I.
He's told you two of the spices. You're like, oh, is that one of the spices? That's crazy.
Just nine more.
Sorry, Come on, man.
So my girlfriend's housemate is filming. It must be a Channel 9 rival show to this. Because, Tom, last week he was at Ray White's house filming.
Oh, so shit.
This is crazy. That
but Ray White's got his fucking fingers in both pies.
I think you would want the... I mean, Ray White, he wants the exposure. Like, he's built up this huge empire. He doesn't care.
I didn't know he was a guy, I suppose.
I didn't know he was a guy.
Is LJ Hooker a guy? Or a woman?
Yeah, because LJ Hooker... Do you remember the ad? It'll be like, LJ Hooker, you're the best.
Yeah, but it could just be a brand. Like McDonald's. I suppose that was a person too.
Well, that was the brothers.
Yeah, Jesus. I don't know.
Your world's come crashing. And basketball was invented by a guy.
There's just people behind all these concepts. I just thought they were organisations that were kind of amorphous and large.
Ray White shouldn't be alive, though. It sounds like because it's he should have. It should be a guy, but he died in the 50s.
Exactly. Yes.
He had a small corner shop.
But he's organising reality television. It doesn't sit right with me.
If I read the story of it, there's no way I'd cry reading the story of a real estate company.
I've been on a bit of a a stretch where I've been Googling the people that are behind this
the actual
reality program.
Or the producers. Instagrams. No, the stars.
Yeah, no, the stars. But then they've got kind of people who work with them that are on the show as well. And they're all on Instagram. And you can see their websites and stuff. And I think it just is in the real estate world to make little videos, kind of like content like this. They're doing podcasts. They're doing walkthroughs.
Yeah.
Where they're showing off the bedrooms and stuff, but they're kind of trying to be funny. Obviously, they're trying to like put their kind of brand in that content. But then there was another guy who was kind of doing that. So he was doing a walkthrough of a house, but he was kind of doing it ironically. He was like, and I suppose now I'll take my shirt off and go in the pool because that's what people always do in these videos. I'm watching. I'm like, is that what people do? Like, you're subverting something I've never really seen. But, that's fine. That's fine, I suppose. You're being kind of funny. But, like, it's just a whole world where they're...
I follow a few...
they're trying to do bits.
Small town real estate agents on the south coast of New South Wales. That were people I knew.
Yes.
Started, obviously got into the world of real estate and then their personal accounts have now become,
them at listings. Sold listings or whatever.
When they do content, one of them bought a drone the other day and
there
was
we
like
go.
Flying
I
over.
Love a drone.
And then one guy, he does great like kind of weekly industry reports about like what's the state of play.
Thank God.
I know.
Otherwise you'd have no clue what was going on.
Have no clue. They never get many views, but I always watch. Probably get like 50 or 60 views.
Gotcha.
He doesn't have many followers. But I guess maybe if you were going to buy a house, you'd go on there.
No.
But it's just...
Who's following? This is what annoys me because particularly on this Lux Listings one, they're selling very expensive houses, and they would get a big commission. So these people that are the real estate agents for these top people, they're making good money. I assume they're relatively rich themselves. But they walk around these houses, these very top-tier houses with, like, crazy, you know, garages with, like, 8 car spots and a spinning thing. And they're like, how cool is this? And they sit down. They're like, yeah, wouldn't mind living here. It's like, you're not... You can't. This is not your house. They're acting like... Like it's their house, and they're part of it. You're the cunt who just introduces, and then it's done.
That's because
you're not involved.
They think they've got a seat at the table.
They think they've got a seat at the table.
But they don't.
You're
have
a minion.
Seat. But they might get a night in there. You know.
You reckon they go and sleep?
Yeah.
And dream.
If there was a few empty nights in there, no one, as if you wouldn't do it. Although $80 million, like there'd probably be no empty nights.
You'd,
or there'd be a security system.
I think you could maybe try, but like the risk would be too high. If you lose the contract, my lord.
So do you find out how much they earn?
No, and you don't really see their houses either. I want to see their houses.
This is like a fucking 60s two-bedroom apartment in Coogee, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Which is like fine.
Oh, some of them. Yeah.
But that must be deflating. If you're selling an $80 million house, spending all day in these beautiful houses.
They love it. They love the... It's similar to the people that are kind of like adjacent to comedy and they think they're funny and they want to be in comedy. I feel like real estate agents are often... people who crave wealth and fanciness and feel part of it because they're adjacent to it. But it's like, and then, you know, the best ones can probably achieve it to some degree because they're successful in their own right. And yeah, they get to buy a fancy house too. But they're filling their ego up with the fucking walkthrough that they do at an auction of a fancy house as if they live there. It's actually unhinged.
I do like when you go to a rental listing and then it doesn't matter, like, because I've gone to some fancy ones and they still treat you like you could potentially buy the house.
Yeah.
Even though...
Totally. Well, they don't know.
They don't know.
Some of the clients on this one are like loopy. You'd never suspect that they have $100 million.
But they wouldn't know. So because sometimes loopy people were fucking minted.
That's what I'm saying. And they are on this show.
Oh, that actually buy the houses.
Yeah, exactly. So like you see that, some of the people that are billionaires, they're nuts and you wouldn't be able to pick it. I feel like a lot of the listings I've been to when I was like looking for an apartment or something. Yeah, you're looking to pay like $300 with someone else. When we were looking, I don't know, like $300 is
whatever it is,
like not heaps. And then maybe the shitter ones that you were looking at, there would sometimes be the real estate agent there would be just like a normal person who was kind of just normal. But sometimes it would be a bit of a fancier looking person who was like dressed up, looked pretty good. Miserable.
Covering for someone.
Probably, and hated being there. And now I realize why. They dream of a world where they're in the $1 million houses. Because
that's what you get in the game for. That has to be the top, right?
I suppose, but who fucking cares? You're not... You don't get to live there.
No, well, Tom...
You're getting paid a wage. They probably get a commission. But
it's pride in your work, you know. You ought to work on good projects. Think
but
about
it. They're treating the renters like shit, being like,
they are shit. They don't care about renters.
They don't.
They work for the person that owns the house. They don't give a fuck about renters.
But you're the same for the buying as well. It's a 9-to-5 job where you just have to sell some shit. You don't live there.
No, but when? So when you buy it, there's no follow-up to the person... Once they're in, you're out. Oh,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
They're managing the sale as opposed to the...
They're nice to you when you try to rent the place. Like,
no, they're not. That's what I'm saying. In the inspections, when you're trying to rent the place, sometimes the fancier people have been placed and they're pissed off.
Yeah.
They're just like, ugh, I don't want to be doing a $500 a week rental. I want to be selling a $5 million house. Yeah. So they're just like, this sucks.
Dude, no one that's rented me a house has ever been above the age of 18. They're always in like an oversized suit, like weird acne. They get into like some fuck daihatsu with P plates on it. It's like their first ever gig. It's like
and they're pumped to be there and they're nice. They're like, can I get you a minty? Can I get you a minty? And you're like, yeah, that'd be good. And they're like walking through. They're like touching too much stuff. Or they're like, a bit surly, 30 years old, look good.
Yeah.
And they hate that they're there. Or they look a bit disheveled or something.
Yeah.
And they're where they are meant to be and they're happy with it. And they're vaguely good at their job.
It is a lot of I've been watching Love Island, the UK series. A lot of cross. I feel like they're all real estate agents. In their other job, I don't know what
same. In like Married at First Sight, one of the model looking women, it said she was a door to door salesman. It's like that job hasn't existed for 40 years. They're lying about those jobs.
Well,
I agree.
There's a guy in there. It's a semi professional footballer, but it's like
semi.
Yeah, in England. Mm. And it's like...
What else did you do?
It's like, what else did you do? Like, yeah, is he still playing? Like, he would be so famous if he was, like, at a professional level.
Semi-professional.
What team is letting him out to go do 8 weeks in the villa in Spain? It's
better be the off-season. So getting off-season for him.
Yeah. But he, it's a great show. You should watch that show. They're all hooking up. It's like...
Aren't they not allowed to?
No, they can do it. They can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Mm. Someone got fingered the other night.
That's crazy.
There's a guy with a club foot on there.
Yeah.
And it's all the girls are like not wanting to fuck him. It's brutal.
I mean, fair.
He's a cutie.
Yeah.
He's like hot.
What is a club foot?
It's like when you're born and your foot, thank God there's a camera on us today.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like when you're born and a foot is that way.
Yes.
Yeah. What? So they have to break it. You have to have a lot of surgery on it at birth and they break it that way.
Fuck off. And then so now what does it look like now that they fixed it?
He's got it's normal, but I think your tendon becomes shorter at the back.
Yeah.
So you kind of stand on your toes a bit more.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not that bad.
But that's how they know.
Fuck him.
Yeah. And he's like the hottest one in there.
Oh my God.
They didn't, like the other night he got, didn't get, like they were.
I'm surprised by that because I feel like in that kind of like surface level kind of real estate agent, hot people world, they kind of understand that some degree of empathy is kind of looked upon fondly in society, but they don't really understand it because they're all psychopaths.
Yeah.
So one kind of tiny little thing wrong with you like that would often be attractive, I think, because they'd be like, oh, I'm a good person. Yeah. I'm going out with James.
Looks on everything
and he has
me.
It's not everything. He's got a fucked foot. He's like tendon is a bit shorter than, he's like, he's a 10. He could be a model, but like...
I think he is a model.
Yeah. Like, there we go. Why isn't this working? This is crazy. But I think it will.
They come out and they say, they all love to say they're like, personality is the most... They're always like, it's pretty crazy because they take away their phones and shit and all they're allowed to talk about is like relationships with everyone. That's the only thing they talk about.
Mm.
And so they go crazy. Over the space of a day, they like swap partners and stuff and they're like developing new feelings.
Yeah.
But they all love to say they're like... Personality is number one for me. Yet, clubfoot, you totally. Go.
Well,
hasn't even had a kiss yet.
Well, I suppose that is part of your personality. Limping.
But he's not even limp. It's like he just looks like he's about to do a dance or something.
What, you think it's nice? It's like a skip.
I like it. There's a bit of rhythm to the way he walks.
Sounds like a fucking limp to me, mate.
He's limping, mate. I'm limping. We're all limping at the moment.
Do we want to talk about COVID?
Melbourne just fell.
Melbourne fell. And my fear with these Melbourneites is that we're in Sydney.
Yeah.
They blame Sydney for the outbreak to some degree. I think it's possible that for the rest of our lives, Melbourne people hate Sydney in like a way that's beyond what they used to.
I mean,
because like there's already a bit of resentment. Not much. I think it's a bit playful, but definitely Melbourne people seem to take it a bit seriously. Like, I don't know, when you perform comedy in Melbourne, sometimes there is a bit of like, oh, Sydney, like we don't like it. It's like, oh, really? I thought it was all a bit of a joke when you heard about that rivalry, but it feels like it's kind of some people.
Yeah, I think in Sydney it's a joke. Melbourne...
Yeah, it's not a joke
Melbourne
to everyone.
Melbourne is just so fucking lame though. Like, give it a rest. They're like... At the moment they're like, oh, you fucking... Sydney people cause this. It's like, whatever. We just did our...
Not even an argument back. Just like, yeah, whatever. It's like, but it's all crazy
and random.
Could
you be like... more than just the goody two-shoes loser in the corner of a classroom? It's like, it's not cool to follow the rules. When did it become the cool thing to do to follow the rules? Yes, I want to get a coffee and walk down the street and walk along the beach.
Totally.
Give me a fucking break, all right.
And there haven't been any transmissions outside. Outside's actually, that's smart. That's actually looking for not the loopholes, for the things that are good to do. They were, just because you had a more restrictive thing and you complied overly with it and kind of enjoyed it deep down because you love compliance.
They should be thanking us, Tom.
For
80% of the international arrivals. Guess who took them? Sydney.
Yes.
No one else wanted to touch them.
Totally.
But we stood up and we said, hey, we're adults. We can deal with this.
Pop in the limo. Forget about the mask.
If anyone should be to blame, it's Melbourne again for not fucking checking their borders. If they were that worried, they should have just built the wall that they so desperately want.
Totally. I think they're partly to blame. At least, I don't think it's as simple. It's a very... chaotic, crazy situation. You can't blame a whole city. Like, You could maybe blame a few politicians for not acting quick enough. Even that, I think, is arguable. But I'm just worried about the kind of the more long-term effects for people that aren't politicians or whatever. I don't really care about any of the politicians. They'll rise and fall. But, like, in 10 years, I think there's a good chance that your standard Melbourneite, who is maybe, like, 15 now, but, like, 25 in 10 years, it's like Sydney caused the... Not only did they act smug when we were in lockdown, but then they caused a second... I mean, there's a perception that we did.
It's because they were just at home bored.
They were bored and they were jealous.
Sydney has been so cool about this latest lockdown that we're in. I've heard no real whinging. People are just like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Totally.
Probably because we're outside quite a lot, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, and where are you... Where would you see the whinging?
I feel like on social media. Online. Yeah. I feel like I've monitored...
Well, you used to live in Melbourne, so you follow people on social media.
Yes, a pretty big spread.
That are from Melbourne and Sydney, and you think there was more whinging back then. They did go through back then more. Like, give us a few more weeks, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to monitor, actually. Just the whinginess levels.
Did you see... I think maybe I sent it to you, or someone sent it in that group chat we're in. Just like, just a text post on Instagram that just said, fuck Sydney.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, obviously that's a bit on the nose and like a bit lame.
Just not even trying to have a good take. Yeah. Just being like, you fuck Sydney.
But is it just down to two removalist guys or something? Is that?
Yeah.
But it seems like there were maybe other ways that it got through. I'm not across it.
Well, I think it was through. No, I think they snuck through. But I mean, like, still, once again, the removalists were going to go. Mm. But I think everyone's angry. They said because we've been outside or something. They see photos.
They do see photos. I saw videos today people were taking of the traffic.
What do you mean of the traffic?
Of just traffic.
Were you doing stand-up in the traffic?
No, I'm there.
You're like, kidding.
How Melbourne's weird, right? Oh, fuck. No, you're leaving to Melbourne?
You're going to Melbourne? Oh, you're a removalist. Okay.
You're trying to get in the car. People screaming, get out. You're like, I'm just trying to do bits. They can't hear me anymore. Everyone's got the windows up. They're worried about the thing. I've got to get in.
It's ruined my stand-up.
Imagine that. Instead of a squeegee guy at the lights trying to do your windscreen, he pops in the back. A few knock-knock jokes.
Get a few dollars.
Knocks outside. Then does a knock-knock inside, jumps out. Yeah, $2, whatever you reckon. That's what I'd do if it became homeless.
Just pay what you think it's worth.
Exactly. There's absolutely no kind of hostage situation taking place that I won't get out of the car if you don't give me money, or there's no kind of implied aggression at all.
It'd make you tighten up those jokes. Those lights go, they're going red quick, green quick.
Yeah, the rooms in Sydney are fucking tough. I've been doing a lot of cars recently where they scream at you to get out. They're
How long do you get
away from my kid. Yeah. Oh, the spot's usually between like 8 seconds, 10 seconds, depending on how kind of aggressive
and
they are.
And they heckle.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's mainly screaming. Like, it's difficult to... So you just kind of learn to kind of get around.
Yeah.
Like when you were performing in Adelaide and they were like, it's a bit of a fairground environment. Yeah. There's like roller coasters in the background. This was like, it's mainly screaming here. And then like a male voice, if there's a father in the car, being like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to like kind of pitch your jokes in that kind of middle section.
In that space. It needs to be in that kind of space between like angry, protective father, and scared child. It's loud and quick, punchy. You got to get there. Well, you'll have their attention.
Exactly.
But it's trying to use
sometimes
that
the radio's on too. So it's like other voices. You got to like wait for the gaps in those voices and then the screams.
Walking, they're like, hey, can you just turn the radio down for a second?
This is not an ideal environment. I can already tell this is not going to, it's like screaming is the opposite of laughter. So you're going to need to come back to zero because currently you're at like minus 10 and I'm never going to get you to 3.
Guys, I'm doing art here. Okay, this is a performance. Bit of respect.
Exactly.
Bit of respect.
When I say art, this is all new. I'm doing all new today.
You're walking with a notepad.
Sorry. Yeah. Melbourne, whingy, don't you reckon, with the lockdown?
Oh, that'll be big one day. I'll do that in a truck one day.
Yeah, exactly. Start in the little hatchbacks. Work your way up into a sedan.
Dude, are you getting a people mover? There's like eight people in there.
How'd you get that, brother?
Yeah, dude, a minivan. You're just looking for minivans to jump in.
More kids. Difficult in there.
Dude, then you could get the fucking bucket and hand it around and be like, just a few coins.
What, do you want money from every member of the...
Yeah, well, that's why you do the big gigs.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Should we wrap this up?
Let's do it. I'm in the still. What's the crew? You see that?